I just want to take you, before I get into the I wills of Jesus, I want to take you to 1 John, if you'll go there with me, in the 5th chapter. Let's look at it together tonight as we do this little study on the I wills of Jesus. Please hear this word, 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse number, let's take a look at verse number 14. In verse number 14, it says these words, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him." Notice the capital H in the word Him, speaking of Jesus. Now this is the confidence. This is how you get your God big. Watch this. This is how God becomes bigger than your problems. Can I just say this to you? When God is bigger than your problems, whew, your problems have got to run off, because God's coming in to help you. He says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if, here's the biggest little word in the Bible, the word if. It's a transitional, it's an optional word, it's a pivotal word. It means you can do it or you can't do it. A lot of times we don't realize when we hear this, if means it's your call. If means it's your choice. If means it's your decision. He says this, that if we ask anything according to His, notice the capital H in the word His, will. Watch this. He hears us. And we're talking about the I wills of Jesus tonight. If I ask anything according, do you see the word according up there? The word according means in the very likeness of, not exactly. It just means something that is in the character of, in the likeness of, doesn't have to be perfectly right on. It just has to be that, that's the will of God. I can't ask God for something that's not His will for my life. I remember that woman coming up one time, says, "I believe in God for that woman, man over there. I've told you the story." And I said, "What man?" She said, "The man in the blue shirt." I said, "Wait a minute, that man's married to the woman he's standing next to." She says, "I know, but I'm believing God for that man." Let me tell you something. You can believe until the cows come home. God's not getting into it. That's not the will of God. He's already married, sister. You better get your act together. So a man comes along and says, "You know, I can live double standard. I could be turned on with my wife at church on Sunday and live like a sinner on the other days with my buddies." And let me tell you something. That's not the will of God. And if you think God's going to protect you, you've got to do the will of God. You have to understand something. He says, when you ask anything according to His will, if we ask anything, didn't just say specific things, anything that's according to His will, He hears us. Then the next verse comes along, pop it up, verse number 15. Remember, we're talking about the I wills of Jesus. Verse number 15 says, and if we know that He hears us, whatever. I love the word whatever. Could somebody say whatever? Whatever says, you know, He's not really defining what it is you're asking Him about. As long as it's in the will of God, guess what? He says, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked Him of Him. In other words, man, that, He just gave you free will to ask something and free will to believe Him to get it. That's pretty confident, man. When you got that kind of confidence, I want you to know something. Nothing's going to stop you from being what God would have you to be. Nothing's going to take you off course. Nothing's going to drive you down. Listen, you can win this battle at every turn of the road. Why? Because we're asking according to His will. Not according to my will, not according to my feelings, not according to what the world says, not according to what some guy's lust or some woman's lust or garbage says, but according to the will of God. If you don't know what the will of God is and you're asking for stuff that is not the will of God, you're in error. And so you and I have got to come to a place where we know the I wills of Jesus, because it gives us confidence to ask, confidence that knows that He hears, and if He hears, ooh, we got it. Let me tell you something, that's good. Are you listening to me now? Go back with me if you will. I'm going to take you back to the Gospels. We're going right off the bat to Luke. And now we're going to talk about Jesus' will, what He will do for your life, the I wills of Jesus. Jesus' will, number one, four things God has for you this night. I love all four of them. There's probably 40 of them, but I'm only going to give you four. So I give you more than four, you're going to forget it anyway. He will clean up our lives. I want you to know, no matter where you're at, you can be the biggest dirt ball on the planet. And some of us that are in this room have been the biggest dirt balls on the planet. You may not be admitting it, but I want you to know something. You can't hide from it. And you know that God is the only one that can come and clean up your mind, clean up your heart, clean up your past, clean up your life. He'll clean up every area of your life. You, in other words, you do not have to remain the way you are. That's good news. You can look at yourself and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Jim, you just don't understand. I have a miserable life. There isn't anything I can really see in myself. I got a lousy education. I don't have a bit of insight on how to do things. My family didn't have much of an insight on how to do things. They just kind of did things the way they wanted to do things. And I really don't fit into anywhere. I feel like, you know, I'm trying to get in someplace. And I want you to know something. God can clean you up. And the good news is that when God gets in the inside of you, He never lets you stay the same. I don't care who you are, what your past is, what you've done, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether you're one of those people that you only had a chocolate addiction or whether you have a heroin addiction, doesn't make one bit of difference. Jesus will clean you up. I thank God every day of my life that God didn't leave me the way I was. There's no hope the way you were. There's no hope the way I was. But God got into my life and He will clean us up. And Jesus is in the cleaning house business. Which gives me great hope. Hope that I don't have to look at tomorrow and say, that's the only thing I'm going to ever have. Hope that I don't have to be there and think that I'm just going to get by. Hope that, I have great hope because God's not finished with any of us yet. That's good news. God will clean us up and clean up every area of our lives. Clean up the filthy thinking. Clean up the vulgar attitudes. Clean up the filthy mouths. Ooh, somebody ought to give me an amen on that one. I know you live in San Bernardino. I know what your mouth is like. I hear it when you pass me on the freeway. See, God is amazing, isn't He? He cleans us up. He doesn't leave us the same. Sometimes we just judge our lives by where we're at today. Let me tell you something. When you get God in, don't stop with where you're at today. Tomorrow's a better day with God. And He's in the cleaning business. I'm talking about He is the merry maid of everybody. Wants to clean us all up. Look at what He says in the 5th chapter of Luke. Let's check it out by the word of the Lord. Verse 12 says, and it happened that when He was in a certain city, and behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored Him. Stop right there. This is such a cool vision. Leprosy is something that was just as bad as it could be. And the worst thing, it separated you from everything. It was a disease that ate you away. When you finally got full of leprosy, everything falls off. Arms, ears, eyes. Everything, fingers fall off. When you are full, then eventually you just die. You are literally live rotting, rotting alive. It is the worst disease. It was contagious, and you couldn't get near a leper. And you'll find He is doing something. He sees Jesus. He falls on His face and He implores Him. In order for you and I to have a life change, it's not just something that happens overnight. It's not just something because you go to church once in a while. It's not just something because, you know, you're a nice person. It's not something because some stupid preacher in the pulpit tells you this is the way it is. Let me tell you something. Listen to the attitude of this man. This attitude of this man is he fell at the feet of Jesus and he begs Jesus. The word implore means this in the original text. It means that he is deeply, deeply desiring something from the inside. When you deeply, oh, hear me now, when you deeply desire something from God from the inside, you're going to get it. But don't just come along and throw some little token prayer at him and say, where is it? How come it doesn't happen? Or I went to church last month. Or I went to Easter 2010. How come it didn't happen? You know what I mean? It doesn't happen that way. Here he is with this passionate desire. And he falls on his face. And he's got his face on the ground and he's begging Jesus. Now Jesus is just the same to every person in here as he is to that man. If we've got that kind of an attitude towards Jesus, I promise you, whatever it is that you are desiring of God, you will get. You may not get it overnight like this man's going to get, but you will eventually get it. Some of you may not even want it when you get it, but you're going to get it. It has a lot to do with how you approach God on whether or not you get anything from God. If you approach God like he's some slot machine in the sky and you just think you can throw some token thing at him and he's like the puppy dog that you call and command around, you're mistaken. But when you are prostrate before him with weeping and tears and coming from your heart, you gotta have it. You gotta have him. You gotta have what he's got to give you. You've got to have it. Listen to this. He is before Jesus. He had to have what Jesus had in order for him to exist. He is somebody with a deep passion. It's not just going through the system. We've got too many people in Christendom that just go through a religious system. We got to get out of the system and get into Jesus. And he says these words, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says the next part of that verse, go to the last part of that verse. And he says these words, verse 13, then he put his hand and touched him, put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. That same thing with Jesus wants to clean up your act. What is it you're addicted to? What is it that controls you? What emotional problem do you have that you got to get over? You can do it with Jesus. I heard someone preaching just the other day about Romans, the 7th chapter. So ticked me off, I'm yelling at my radio all the way. So ticked me off. Go to Romans 7th chapter. Paul's writing, I can't do this because my flesh has got me and taken me down. You know, you got to get to the place, that's the way you used to be. When your flesh run you. But now the last part of that Romans 7 chapter says, but Jesus, I got into God and God set me free. Man, I'm telling you guys something, guys. There's not just staying the same. There's a change coming. God wants to clean up your act. Just like he cleaned him up from leprosy. Whether it's the disease you have, whether it's the sickness you have, he's not a respecter of men, but you're going to have to get down and you're going to have to realize it's him that you get it from. And he gives it to those that really want it, not just someone who calls him like a dog and expects him to come running and fetch the bone. It doesn't work that way. Boy, I tell you, it's those that are meeting with him on the level that he needs to be met with, that he is God Almighty and we need to get our hearts before him. Are you hearing me? And he'll clean us up. It's like the thousands and thousands of people that come forward. Where are they? What happened to them? You just can't walk down the aisle and get saved and that's it and forget about God and think you're saved. Don't think for a moment God doesn't see where you're at. You ought to be on your face before God crying out to him, God, I got to have you more than anything and you'll get him more than anything. Is anybody listening? That's number one. He will. I will, so Jesus, I will cleanse you. Number two, I like this. He will draw the people. Bible says he will draw all men. He says, I will draw all men. One thing you got to know about Jesus, the one who draws men, his name is Jesus. The one who brings men out of where they're at. Sometimes we look at this world and we think there's no hope. Can I tell you something? In the natural, there's no hope, but we're not putting the natural against the world. We've got a supernatural God who will draw people out. And you can say anything you want about the billboards, and you can write me all the texts you want, and you can send any letter you want, and you can complain about everything, but I'm here to tell you something. The billboards will never draw people to Jesus. Jesus draws people to himself. The billboards only open the door so they can go through to Jesus. That's what this is all about. We're investing in just the open door. We need to know that he will, number one, cleanse us, but number two, he draws all men when he is lifted up. And our job at the church is to lift him up. We lift him up on the job. We lift him up wherever we go. We lift him up in our lifestyle. We lift him up in school. We lift him up in business. We lift him up in our home. We lift him up in our family. We lift him up with our children. We lift him up with our finances. We lift him up in the marketplace. We lift him up because anytime he's lifted up, he will draw men to him. And what we're doing with this shout is we are lifting up Jesus. I like what it says. Go with me in John, the 12th chapter. When you get to John, the 12th chapter, look at verse 30 with me. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. How is the judgment of this world? Now is the judgment of this world. Now the rulers of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." One translation says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Our job is to realize that Jesus will draw men to himself. You didn't get here tonight by yourself. Oh, you need to hear this. You didn't get here tonight by yourself. You didn't get here because someone talked you into it. You didn't get here because you decided to come. You got here because the Holy Spirit drew you here. And if the Holy Spirit can draw you here, how much further could he draw you into the place where he wants you? Because the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So God draws you in and takes you where he needs to take you. I like that. We're talking about what Jesus will do, the I wills of Jesus. He will draw people. He will cleanse our lives. Number three, he's coming again. You better believe he's coming again. I don't know when he's coming. If anybody ever tells you, they know the date and the hour and the time, they're squirrely and nuts. Because the Bible said those kind of people are nuts and they're not going to be able to know the date or the time or the hour. So I want you to know something. When you hear about some guy prophesying that the day is coming on certain day at a certain time, just sit back and laugh because it will not be that time. But I want you to know he is coming. I don't know if he's coming today or tonight or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. My job as a pastor is to get you ready because Jesus will be coming. And that's good news. I love what it says. Take a look at it with me in John, the 6th chapter. Excuse me, in John, the 14th chapter. Sorry, John, the 14th chapter, verse number 1 says it like this. "Let not your heart be troubled, you. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." Jesus is speaking. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will." Everybody say, "I will."
"I will."
"I will come again and receive you myself. And there I am. And there you may be also." There's hope for our future. Jesus is coming. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. We're talking about the I wills of Jesus. Number one, he will cleanse you. Number two, he will draw men. Number three, he will come. Number four, I love this one, my favorite one and last for tonight. He'll not leave us behind. Wouldn't it be terrible if he came but left you and I behind? The only ones that are going to be left behind are those that are not going to be hooked up with Jesus. And if you think at that last moment when he comes, you can talk your way in. I'm sorry, I don't care how good a talker you're in. It is over and you missed it. And he's not going to leave us behind. Notice what it says in John the 6th chapter, verse number 39 says, "This is the will of the Father," 6th chapter, verse number 39. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last days. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." Listen to this. "And I will raise him at the last day." Man, good news is you don't have to stay. There's a day coming when Jesus is coming. The eastern sky is going to split. And we're going to know the King of Glory has come. And we that know and believe, let me tell you something. We're not staying behind. We're not left behind. We're out of here because we're connected with Jesus. And you ought to give the Lord a great big praise. All of this builds confidence in you as to who you are in him, if you're born of the Spirit of God. If you're not, guess what? I'll help you in a moment. In him, this builds this confidence that you know he's not leaving me the same. He's going to cleanse me and clean me up. He will draw all men and he will draw me to him and I will follow him. He's one who's coming again. Thank God. And he's also, number four, he's not leaving me behind. That's good news. And that builds the confidence. And that's a Bible study you can go to the bank on. Come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.